Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om 6, chapter 8, text 13, and also text number 14. 13 is on the board. Jaleshu mam raksatu matya murtir. Yadho ganebhyo varunasya pasat. Taleshu maya vatu vamano yatn. Vivikrama ke vatu visvarupaha. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. May the Lord, who assumes the body of a great fish, protect me in the water from the fierce animals that are associates of the demigod Varuna. By expanding His illusory energy, the Lord assumed the form of the dwarf Vamanadeva. May Vamana protect me on the land. Since the gigantic form of the Lord, Vishwarup, conquers the three worlds, may He protect me in the sky. Please repeat, may the Lord. Purport is one sentence. This mantra seeks the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the water, land, and sky, and in His incarnations as the fish, Vamanadeva, and Vishwarup. I read that again. This mantra, devotee is praying for protection. And he prays for protection from the Lord. People in this world are always in fear. We were hearing yesterday from Maharaj, dear Damodar Maharaj, this aspect of fear. What is fear? Prabhupada gives a very simple definition of fear. Fear means two. The number two. Two means I see something besides the One or Krishna. Anything outside of that, I identify, then that causes the element of fear. Ultimately, from the absolute point of view, which is the supreme perfection of all truth, there is only one, there is Krishna. Everything is Krishna or Krishna's energy. And everything that exists, exists within Krishna and His energies. So there's nothing outside of that. So to see anything outside of that is an illusion or fear. Causes fear. Because one who doesn't see Krishna sees, what we say, his energy cut off from him. And that is called illusion or maya, which causes fear. So, how to get over that is that one has to engage in devotional service. Otherwise, there's no way that one can protect oneself from this element of fear. Just like we seek the protection of the Lord from elements that may cause us difficulties or calamities. The next verse is very instructive. I'd like to read that. Because it glorifies the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shri Nisringadeva. Shringa Bhagavan ki jaya. Durgeshvavatyaji mukandishu prabho payan nisringho suraya yutapari. Vimukchata to yasya mahattaham sam. Disho vine dur napatam shagarbha. Translation. May Lord Nisringadeva, who appeared as the enemy of Haranyakashipu, protect me in all directions. His loud laughing vibrated in all directions and caused the pregnant wives of the Asuras to have miscarriages. May that Lord be kind enough to protect me in difficult places, like the forest and battlefield. So there's two types of protection. The protection against our own, what we say, illusion, or our own misconceptions, the protection that is necessary in order to purify ourselves so we don't become victimized by our own material desires. Because we have what we say a conditioned nature, and that conditioned nature forces us to act in such a way that is contrary to our spiritual development. So we want protection against that. So Lord Nisringadevi is also expert at giving protection from that also. And then he also protects, as we understand very carefully in our prayers to Lord Nisringadevi, from external aspects of fear and obstacles and difficulties in the form of demons, in the form of calamities that surround us. When Srila Prabhupada began the movement, the Hare Krishna movement, he didn't introduce the Nisringa mantra right away. It came much later, actually, a couple of years later. And it came because of an incident where devotees were harassed and attacked. And Prabhupada said, now I will give you another mantra. Tavakara kamala varena kamaduta singham dalitali hanyakashipu tanu bingham kesavadrita hangarari upaham jayodhyaga visare Haya Gadhi Sahare, Haya Gadhi Sahare. The devotees feel completely happy, confident, protected, and blissful simply by chanting that mantra. Because Lord Nisringadeva is very much suited for worship in this age. This is the age of calamity. Age of Kali, another aspect of Kali's feature is unexpected calamities, difficulties, attacks, demons, anything can happen. In the history of our society is that we have seen many times devotees have been harassed and attacked and somehow protected by Lord Nisringadeva. Lord Nisringadeva is very much suited for Kali Yuga because there's a lot of work in Kali Yuga. A lot of work. And this age is full of what we say, those persons who are, what we say, infested with bad characters. This is called Kali Yuga. Everything is so bad. No matter how much you try to rearrange the material energy, it remains bad, even from the perspective of bad. So this is Lord Nisringadeva. He gives protection. There was a nice story just recently, a couple weeks ago. It was posted wherein one family, South Africa, they were just arriving back to their home, a devotee family, and they drove into their driveway, got out of their car, started to enter into their house. And there was the mother, the son, and one other family member. And immediately they were surrounded by five persons with guns, and they had masks on their face. And they were meaning business. So they, at gunpoint, forced the devotees to go into the house. And while they were going into the house, they could hear some cries from in the house. The father was there. There was another man there. The father was crying out, Krishna! Krishna! The loud top of his voice. Everyone was hearing that. Still, they walked into the house at gunpoint. They came to the temple room, which was the first room that they entered into the house. It's the immediate room. And the father was there, and he was pointing to a picture of Lord Krishna. And he was saying to the attackers, this is my Lord, and he's going to save me. Bold, really bold, without any fear. He was just calling out, this is my Lord, and he's going to save me. Krishna, Krishna. At that time, the son, who was the elder son in the family, just started to scream Lord Nisringadeva's name. on top of his lungs. And all of a sudden, the whole atmosphere changed. The people with guns, especially the leader who was there, he started to shake and tremble. And then it looked like, as it was described, he looked like he saw a ghost. His eyes got big. He became really fearful. Immediately turned around and saw some car keys laying there, picked them up and ran out the door along with his friends, and they immediately left. Haribo, Lord Nisringa Dave Key. The devotees were blissful. This just happened a couple of weeks ago in South Africa. These were disciples of Bhakti Tirumala Maharaj. So, Lord Nisringa Dave's there. Of course, you shouldn't test him to see if he works. Sometimes we just see, let's try it out. It's not the idea. Lord Nisringa Dave doesn't like that kind of program. He's there, but it has to come according to his. But devotees are always protected by Lord Nisringa. There's another nice story, many nice stories. So many, actually. There was one devotee. He was distributing books in, I believe it was in Israel. And this was many years ago. A friend of his told me this story and said that he was distributing books one day, and he finished his book distribution, went up on top of a hill in the city, and just started to sit there, just kind of unwind from the day's activities. And he was looking at the city from an elevated spot, and he saw one section of the city was like all bombed out, deserted area that had been affected by the war. So there was no life there. It was just bombed out buildings. So, went back to the temple that night. The next day he was out distributing books again in the same area. And at the end of the day, he was distributing, and one man came up to him. And he said, "You know, these books you have are really wonderful. And I would like to get one copy of every title you have." And he had about 9 different titles with him. So the man said, "But I don't have enough money. In fact, I have very little money on me. But if you come to my house, I'll pay you double for what they're worth." So the devotee was thinking, well, it's the end of the day. Man seems really sincere. Okay. So they were walking, and the man just started to talk. And talk and talk and talk. Absorbed. He was absorbing the devotee in talk. And in that sense, the devotee was not really watching where they were walking. He wasn't noticing. So they were just talking. Finally, at one point, the devotee looked. And he just happened to notice that they were in that section of the city where he saw the day before that was all bombed out buildings. Then he realized this man is not serious. And then the man immediately picked up and pulled out his knife and was either going to kill or rob the devotee. Devotee, what does he do when he gets in trouble? Nisringadev! And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there was nobody around. A big, huge, giant dog, boom, jumped on the guy. Knocked him down. The guy went flying and the devotee got away. Nisringadev Bhagavan Ki. So, Lord Nisringadev, he gives protection. Kali Yuga, it's very difficult to preach in this age. So we always pray for the protection of Lord Nisringadev. Therefore, a devotee has no fear. But there is a kind of fear that we should have. What is that fear? Prabhupada said there's a healthy kind of fear. Not the fear that what will happen to me? Will Krishna protect me? Will Lord Nisringadev protect me? What will happen? No, we're not worried about that. We do our service. Of course, we're careful not to try to flaunt the material energy in such a way as to bring about some difficulties unnecessarily. Devotees are very careful and cautious in executing their devotional service because material energy is very, very, what we say, unpredictable. But at the same time, a devotee is not afraid. He's not fearful. Materialists are fearful. They think, "And will I get my plans fulfilled? Will I become happy if I fulfill my plans? Will I get this situation? Will I lose this thing that I acquired? So many aspects of fear. What is fear due to? Too much absorption in Maya, or the temporary, which cannot really bring any kind of satisfaction or peace of mind, or any kind of fulfillment. Therefore, everyone in the material world is fearful. Prabhupada says, from Lord Indra, the king of heaven, all the way down to the Indra Gopa germ, the most insignificant, tiny, little insect that can't even be seen by human eyes, all are subject to the element of fear. Why? Because all are under the influence of the material energy. Even Indra, he's afraid of losing his kingdom, right? What happened when Prithu Maharaj was performing the Ashwamedha Yagyas? He had performed 99. Indra had performed 100. Indra was unmatched. And then Prithu Maharaj was about to perform 100th. And he was thinking, Indra was thinking, if he performs 100th, he's going to be greater than me. He's going to take over my kingdom in the higher planet. So I have to do something to stop him. He was fearful of losing his kingdom. What did he do? He disguised himself as a bogus sannyasi. And he entered into the arena and stole the sacrificial horse. Prithu Maharaj's son chased after Indra, captured him, brought him back, brought the horse back. But what did Indra do? He did it again. When the sacrifice began, he did it again. And so even in the heavenly planets, there is fear of some kind of loss of one's position, power, influence. So people are always afraid of some aspect. But the devotee has only one kind of fear. What is that fear? That I may not be captured by Maya. That Maya may not get me. I don't want to fall back, slip into the material energy once again. So therefore, a devotee is very cautious and careful not to do anything which again might reawaken some attraction or some, what we say, unnecessary contact with the material energy. Therefore, one has to be very careful, cautious in executing one's devotional service. So that kind of fear is healthy because it helps us to become more and more conscious of taking shelter of Krishna and devotional principles. But the fear that is ordinarily understood as fear by what goes on in this material world, devotee has no fear. He knows Rake Krishna More Ke, More Krishna Rake Ke. If Krishna wants to protect, no one can kill you or do anything to you. And if Krishna lets his protection, no one can save themselves. We just gave a few examples of difficult circumstances where devotees were practically on the verge of death, but somehow the Lord saved them. I'll give you another example. Of the opposite, one man, he was laying in bed, sleeping very peacefully. He rolled over, fell out of bed, and hit his head on the floor and died. Now you would think, I'm sleeping in my bed. So comfortable. Wow, this is the greatest of all happiness, sleep. Ah, so nice, sleep. What happened? There's no conscious awareness of anything. Not even the element of fear. And what happens? Just finished. Just rolled out of bed. Yeah, true story. I heard two different stories like this. So, Rake Krishna More Ke, More Krishna Rake Ke. So, what can we do to save ourselves? We can only take protection of the Lord. There's a beautiful prayer spoken by Prahlad Maharaj in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which Sri Prahlad Maharaj, he glorifies the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Nrisimhadev, in such a way that he prays to the Lord, "My dear Lord, you are the source of all power in the universe. Therefore, please remove within my heart any attachment to fruitive activities in this material world, which are the cause of fearfulness. And by your mercy, then we can become fearless in our struggle in this material world. Beautiful prayer. Do you know that prayer? How many devotees know that prayer? Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namaste Jate Jase Avir Avir Bhava Vrajanaka Vrajadamsta Kamasaya Gradara Radaya Om Grasa Grasa Om Swaha Abhayam Abhayam Atmani Bhuyasa Om Shram. Beautiful prayer. Would you like to learn it? I could teach it to you. Okay, you ready? Brahmacharis, they're all Shruti Dara, so they can just hear once and they will have it completely memorized. Repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya. Namaste Jate Jase Avir Avir Bhava Vrajanaka Vrajadamstra Karma Sayan Radaya Radaya Tamo Grasa Grasa Om Swaha Abhayam Abhayam Atmani Bhuyasta Om Shram. Beautiful prayer. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18, Verse Number 8. Make a note of that. 5:18:8. Memorize that verse. Beautiful prayer by Lord Sri Prahlad Maharaj to Lord Narasimhadev. Praying, the Lord is the source of all power and protection within the universe. So, where else can we go for protection, for fearlessness? Only unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, devotees have nothing to fear. We only fear falling into the illusionary energy and again somehow or other being attracted by Maya. And Maya is very powerful. So, therefore, one should be very conscious and careful in one's devotional service. Because as we make our progress in devotional service, we don't want to go backwards. Sometimes we think I'm making nice progress. I'm chanting my rounds nicely. I'm reading the books. I'm feeling happy in kirtan, becoming enthusiastic. My service is going nicely. And then what happens is that one starts to feel a little, what we say, self-assured. There's a kind of, what we say, false ego that can develop from what we call success on the path. And that false ego can cause us to be a little careless and a little bit inattentive in our devotional service. And even a slight, what we say, inattention can cause havoc. Prabhupada says that devotional service is like shaving with a razor. Shaving with a razor means you have to be very attentive, because if you become a little inattentive, you could just move your hand the wrong way. And what happens? There's cut. There's blood. So in the same way, devotional service is like that. It's a happy process. It's a process that brings great awareness, knowledge, but also Maya is always somehow or other testing the devotee to see how much shelter the devotee has actually taken. And if we haven't taken full shelter of the Lord in every circumstance, then we can become, what we say again, victimized. Just like all of a sudden you could somehow again be attracted to something that you gave up many years ago. It happens. I've given up all these attractions. I'm just happy in my devotion. And all of a sudden, something appears on the horizon. And again, there's attraction reawakens. And then all of a sudden, the devotee says, no, I don't want to be attracted to that. But I am. Oh, my God, what am I going to do? I'm attracted. I don't want to be attracted. But I am. It happens, right? Yeah, it's like that. It says that the demigods, especially, you know, the higher demigods, when they see a devotee is becoming really, really, really enthusiastic and serious in their devotional service, they might send some little element of one's former association with Maya to just to see, because they get worried, like your old girlfriend comes back again. Haribo, don't you remember me? We were school friends, Haribo. Yeah, that's nice, but I'm chanting Hare Krishna now. You know, it's a problem. It's definitely a problem. Yeah, it happened to me one time. I was out doing Sankirtan. All of a sudden, this female acquaintance I hadn't seen in 20 years appeared as an element of my Sankirtan activities. She was there. Krishna, help. What can you do? You know, you just take shelter of Krishna. I did my best to remove myself as fast as I could, but still, it was like old friends, you know? So you never know what can happen. And Maya is very powerful. Maya is very tricky also. So, therefore, one has to take shelter. Because without taking shelter, the mind has no power to resist material energy or to somehow overcome material energy. Material energy is Krishna. It's Krishna's powerful energy. Krishna showed by his own example how powerful Maya is, that it can even attract me. There's one story. Krishna was in Vrindavan with the cowherd boys, and they were just having lunch and playing together like they always do. And then, of course, Kamsa, every day, was sending two demons to Vrindavan. Prabhupada writes, or actually the Acharyas write, Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes that Krishna was killing, on the average, two demons a day. It's like it was a regulation. One in the morning and one in the afternoon. Two demons. The demons we hear about were just a few of the major ones. But Krishna, that was a regular service for Krishna to dispatch demons to Yamaraj's abode. It was a regular affair. So, like every day, another demon came. This was Agasura. Big, huge snake. Says that his mouth, he laid down on the path where the boys were playing, and he opened his mouth wide, and from the bottom of his lip to the top of his upper lip was 8 miles high. I don't know how many of you fly in airplanes, but the average plane flies about 30,000 feet. Now, 30,000 feet is about, it's pretty high. I'm usually traveling in planes, and there's like 5,280 feet to a mile. So 8 miles high is about 43,000 feet. That's higher than planes fly, and they're pretty high. You look down, out of the plane window, you look down, and you know, you can't even see people. Houses look like you can't see houses either. Even mountains look like pieces of dirt, so tiny. It's really high up. So this demon was like 8 miles high, his mouth from the bottom to the top. And his idea was, he was thinking, I'm going to attract those cowherd boys to come in my mouth and play. So Krishna was there, and the cowherd boys were there. And then the cowherd boys, they noticed this strange-looking cave that had appeared in Vrindavan. And they said, oh, look, it's a cave. Now someone said, no, it's not, it's a demon. Well, that doesn't matter, let's go anyway. Krishna saves us. He always saves us. There's nothing to worry about, right? All right, let's go. So they all ran into the mouth of this demon. And Krishna had just somehow or other was not paying attention to what was happening, apparently. And then, all of a sudden, he saw all the boys running into the cave, the mouth of this demon. And it said that Krishna became bewildered. He actually, it says in the scriptures, in that section, it's written, Krishna became bewildered. He became, what we say, shocked to see what was happening, or bewildered to see what was happening. Now, how can Krishna become bewildered by his own energy? He can't. It's not possible. But for the sake of instructions, he's teaching that just see how powerful my illusionary energy is. That even I become bewildered, right? What happened to Lord Brahma? The person who is in control of the universe, apparently, under the direction of Krishna, he creates all the bodies under the direction of the Lord. And he creates all the forms within this universe by assembling the material energy after it's activated by the glance of the Supreme Lord. What happened? He got somewhat affected by illusion and apparently chased after his own daughter. So we see even great, powerful controllers somehow or other become victimized, apparently victimized by the material energy. So what's our position? We're so insignificant. Therefore, taking shelter of the Lord is not something we should do, something we must do at all times. There's one verse from the Vishnu Purana. Raghunath Maharaj quotes this verse often. And what is the greatest calamity? What is the greatest anomaly? What is the greatest difficulty? To forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead for 1 second, for 1 moment. Because in that 1 moment of forgetfulness, all of a sudden you're under the influence of the material energy. That's how what we say, Prabhupada was saying, if you really want to become Krishna conscious, I was listening yesterday, Prabhupada was speaking, if you really want to become Krishna conscious, you have to use every second of the day in devotional service. Not a moment wasted. He said, this is how Krishna consciousness should be executed. Therefore, in that absorption, we're protected. We're absorbed by the by Krishna in the form of his, when we say, Daivi Prakriti, the internal energy of the Lord, which protects one from the influence of the external energy of the Lord. We call it Bahiranga Shakti, the external energy of the Lord. So, take shelter of the Lord. Indra, he's worried. He's in a very difficult position. So now he's getting protection through this apparent chanting of the different mantras called the Narayan Kavacha shield. So what is our protection? Our protection is take shelter of Krishna in the form of his Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We're taking shelter of the Maha Mantra. All the incarnations of the Lord are found within the name of Krishna. So everything is there within the Maha Mantra. And the Maha Mantra is the means for self-realization in this age. So as long as we're chanting Hare Krishna, we are successful. One time Prabhupada was talking about how we should become absorbed in chanting the holy names of the Lord 24 hours a day. He writes that in his books. And he was speaking. And then there was one man there. And I don't remember exactly how it was. But the story is that Prabhupada said, tell the man, come, put your head on my back and listen. So the man put his ear on Prabhupada's back. And he could hear within the body of Prabhupada the chanting of the holy names. Inside, Prabhupada was resonating constantly the sound of Krishna's holy name. Haridas Thakur, when he was threatened by the Qazi, that if you don't stop chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you're born Muslim. You should be chanting the names of the Hindu names of God, the gods of the Hindu. then we're going to, if you don't stop, we're going to kill you. He said, you can take my body and cut it to pieces, and each one of those pieces will be chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. The mantra and him were like non-different. He was so absorbed in chanting the holy name that the holy name became, let me say, identical with his existence. One is absorbed in Krishna, in chanting of the holy name. So therefore, a devotee has no fear. Our only fear is somehow or other to forget Krishna, or forget what is our purpose in life. We should forget sense gratification. Forget about sense gratification. Anyway, even if you have a desire for sense gratification, if you engage in devotional service, Krishna will make arrangements so you become satisfied. Your senses will become satisfied by engaging in devotional service. We don't have to worry, make separate arrangements to somehow fulfill our desires in this world. We sing, Shri Guru Charanam Rati, Ese Utamagati, Ye Pras, Ye Sarvari, what is that? Ye Prasari Purve Sarva As. That by taking shelter of the lotus feet of the bona fide spiritual master and engaging in his devotional service, all of one's desires are automatically fulfilled. One doesn't have to make arrangements to fulfill any other desire except to engage in devotional service. Krishna takes care of his devotees 100%. We have that faith, there's no... That doesn't mean just brahmacharis he takes care of. He takes care of everybody. Grihasthas, sannyasis, vanaprasthas. He's even taking care of the materialists according to how much they are accepting his care. Krishna is, what we say, complete in everything he does. So a devotee has no fear. Any questions? Comments? No questions? Yes, Prabhu?
Thank you for a nice class, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
I have a question about when you practice devotional service for a long time, you mentioned that one can become relaxed, yeah, and also one can become impatient, restless. What to do in these cases when this happens?
When we become restless?
Yeah, and...
Impatient? You just become impatient, just chant Hare Krishna. When you're happy, you're not impatient. If you're experiencing happiness, when you're in the middle of a kirtan, you're chanting and dancing, you're not thinking about all your other plans that you haven't really fulfilled yet. You're just absorbed. So when we're absorbed in Krishna consciousness, we can become patient. Impatience means we don't have faith. We don't have enough faith. We somehow are expecting or demanding or somehow or other calculating that something should happen that I want to happen. I mean, the devotee prays, when will that day be mine? Offenses ceasing, the taste for the name increasing, oh when will that day be mine? I think there's a Narottam Das Thakur, he prays like that. There's a Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying like that. And he's eager to become, what we say, absorbed in devotional service. So he's praying like that, but at the same time, he's not demanding. Can't demand anything from Krishna. We want to make spiritual advancement. We want to free ourselves from material attachments. and somehow or other rid ourselves from those things that are unnecessary in our devotional service. But still, we have to carefully execute the process. And when we become impatient, or we become a little bit less, what we say, involved in the process, and think that we have to make our other arrangements, then we should just try to, again, associate with devotees. When you're associating with devotees and you're engaged in devotional service, generally you don't dwell on these things so much. Have faith. Krishna knows what we need when we need it. He doesn't give everything. You may need something in order for you to execute devotional service nicely. And it may not come, but it will come in time by Krishna's arrangement. Krishna knows what we need when we need it. Not just what we need, but when should He give it also? When is the proper time? So that faith, that patience, just like we hear about the story of, what was his name? Mukunda. When Lord Chaitanya was giving out blessings and benedictions to his devotees on the Mahaprakash Leela, 21 hours he was bestowing unlimited blessings and benedictions upon his devotees, asking them, please ask for me anything you want. The Lord was in the most magnanimous mood. So the devotees were always asking and praying for something for others. And for themselves, they were just asking, please give me devotional service, pure devotional service. Please give me shelter at your lotus feet. Please give me the opportunity to serve your devotees. So at one point, the devotees said, please give Mukunda love of God. Lord Chaitanya, when he heard the name Mukunda, he became silent. Then he became somewhat angry. He said, Mukunda, he is an offender. He is like a person who worships you. He's offering puja to you, worshiping you, at the same time he's beating you over the head with a stick. So I don't even want to hear the name of Mukunda. I don't even want to see his face ever again. Mukunda was going out apparently and listening to those who speak philosophies that weren't pure devotional service, that were tinged with karma kanda and jnana kanda. So Lord Chaitanya became very upset and said, I don't ever want to hear Mukunda's name or ever see him again. Mukunda was there. He was from a distance and he was listening. And when he heard that, he began to cry. He became very unhappy. And then the devotees, being compassionate and caring by nature, they pleaded with the Lord, please give Mukunda another chance. My dear Lord, he's very dear to you. He sings for you. He's such a wonderful devotee. The Lord finally relented and said, all right, Mukunda can see me after 10 million births. Only after 10 million births can he come back in my association. And when Mukunda heard that, he became joyful. He became happy. He actually started to dance. And he said, he starts singing, only 10 million births. Only 10 million births. And I will see the Lord again. He was dancing. He was jubilant. He was happy. His hopes for, again, gaining the Lord's association were rekindled. And when Lord Chaitanya saw that and heard that, he said, you can bring him now. Because he was willing to wait for the Lord's mercy. So this patience actually is a great virtue. Men have less patience than women. Women seem to be more patient than men. It even says that in the Bhagavad Gita. One of the virtues of the female class is that they have good patience. Men tend to be a little bit more impatient, demanding, aggressive, right now type of attitude. I guess it's something about being in a woman's body that they have to somehow put up with men so they're a little bit more patient. So that's where they get their patience from. So, but we should also develop those qualities of patience. It's important. Patience is situated on full understanding of scriptural knowledge. When one has good philosophical knowledge, then one's patience becomes very strong. Because they know, simply through philosophy, that everything is perfect and whatever is happening right now is the absolute perfection of my devotional service. And one is satisfied. Doesn't become impatient. Restlessness. Restlessness is simply due to our association with the material energy. Prabhupada said it's a feature of our association with the material energy that we become restless. Because in association with material energy, you know, we want satisfaction and we don't get it, so therefore we're restless. So too much of that association carries over, and therefore we still have those tendencies. But have faith.
Should we balance this with that we should try to improve always, but we should at the same time be satisfied?
We should learn to be satisfied.
But at the same time we should push forward and improve and endeavor.
Yeah, we should and try to increase the quality of our devotional service. Therefore, we should cultivate the proper mood of devotional service. That makes us happy, that makes us satisfied. Try to increase quality in whatever you do, in your relationships with your devotees, in chanting of the holy name, in studying the books, in execution of your devotional service. Try to increase the quality by increasing the devotion. Increase the devotion, increase the quality. Like that, both. It's difficult because we're still, when we say, inclined to certain tendencies. We have certain characteristics within our nature that are so subtle and so hard to remove that they've been with us because they've been with us so long that we can't even see ourselves acting in what we say a less devotional way. It's just the way are we. It's just our tendencies. It's our secondary nature. Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls them the idiosyncrasies. And these things are more deeper than our external attachments. Our idiosyncrasies are what we say conditioned habits. The habits that actually take root in our personality and character and play along with that and become part of our character, personality, our material character. So these things are purified eventually as we go deeper and deeper in devotional service through associating with devotees. The best remedy for all problems is association with senior devotees. And that is the best remedy. Because in that association, then you are seeing the best example and at the same time forced to act properly. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.